It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, May 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. Kebler Pass is still closed for the season, but recent damage will keep it closed beyond Memorial Day weekend. The pass connects the North Fork area to Crested Butte and normally reopens on the upcoming holiday weekend, but officials with Gunnison County are still assessing the damage and do not know when it will be open again. Lost Lake, a popular campground and hiking area, will only be accessible from the Crested Butte side until the damage is repaired. A hit-and-run accident was reported at the Grand Junction Regional Airport Sunday night. According to police, a silver station wagon struck an 83-year-old man and then crashed through a parking gate arm. The man was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Later that evening, emergency responders found a driver passed out in a car matching the description. Jonathan Miller was arrested on several felony charges, including DUI, assault, and elder abuse. Arch Coal's West Elk Mine, just outside of Paonia, is the last operating mine in the area. It also spews more methane each year than any other site in Colorado. KDNK's Gavin Dahl spoke with reporter Kelsey Ray about the Invisible Plume, her investigation into coal methane for the Colorado Independent.
Last week, the EPA finalized its rules on methane leaks from oil and gas infrastructure. According to High Country News, the new regulation should keep 11 million total tons of methane out of the air over the next 10 years. While these regulations could be costly for the industry, particularly the work of finding and fixing leaks, the rules do not apply to existing wells. For now, they have nixed any exemption for low-producing wells, increased the frequency of leak detection, and laid the groundwork for extending regulation to existing wells before the end of the Obama administration. Under Governor John Hickenlooper, the state of Colorado has instituted some of the most strict regulations on methane in the entire country. Drillers are required to capture 95% of all methane. But what about coal? Kelsey Ray is a young journalist who published a 4,000-word investigation this month on ColoradoIndependent.com called The Invisible Plume about the West Elk Mine. It spews more methane each year than any other site in Colorado and yet goes completely unregulated. Kelsey, thanks for speaking with KDNK.
Thanks for having me.
How does methane, an odorless, invisible gas, compare to carbon dioxide in terms of its impact on atmosphere?
Well, methane is about 20 to 25 times more potent as a heat-trapping gas than carbon dioxide. And it does last significantly less time in the atmosphere, but in the short term, its climate impact is significant.
Okay, so your story is based in the North Fork Valley, Gunnison National Forest. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Arch Coal. They filed for bankruptcy in January. I noticed one business day after paying out $8 million in executive bonuses. But they didn't halt production at West Elk. In fact, their subsidiary, Mountain Coal Company, you said, is trying to expand production there. What would an expansion of West Elk mean in terms of climate change impacts?
Well, as far as the expansion goes, the climate impacts are difficult to calculate because we don't know exactly how much coal they would mine per year. It depends a lot on market forces, and obviously the market for coal is not great right now. But the expansion would give them 1,700 more acres from which to mine coal, and that would keep them mining for at least another 3 years beyond what they're currently doing. Right now, they emit the carbon dioxide equivalent of 650 million metric tons of CO2 equivalent, and that was in 2014. So we could expect to see numbers like that for several years into the future.
So we're talking more methane emissions and, of course, more CO2 when the coal gets used.
Right, yeah, that's not even taking into account the burning of the coal.
Kelsey Ray, you visited the area for your story, The Invisible Plume, in Colorado Independent. Mine employees refused to respond to calls and emails requesting an interview or a tour. Talk about what you and your team found.
Well, so first I'd like to say I hate to use the word refused when I can't get in touch with sources, but in this case it was true. I called and left voicemails repeatedly with West Elk Mine. I did manage to get on the phone once with an Arch Coal employee, and she told me that they weren't able to do a tour and gave me some short answers to questions. But yeah, ultimately they did refuse to grant an interview. What we did, we ended up hiking up to one of their methane exhausters. The mine currently has two methane exhausters running, and we hiked up several miles, partly because I got the group a little bit lost, but we ended up hiking several miles uphill to a methane exhauster and used an infrared camera to film what was coming out. And as we expected, what was invisible when we arrived became a dark black cloud of smoke through the infrared camera.
Governor Hickenlooper's administration just released a study looking at capturing methane as an energy source. That seems like it makes more sense than just venting it or burning it, flaring it. And methane captures from nearby Elk Creek Mine power operations for Aspen SkiCo. But how can Colorado consider captured methane an eligible energy source for its renewable energy standard?
Well, it's controversial. Coal mine methane is, of course, not a renewable energy source. But what ended up happening after a kind of a lengthy battle is a bill was passed to add coal mine methane to our renewable energy standard because they decided that the economic incentives of putting it on a renewable energy standard were worth it. And a lot of environmentalists were unhappy, but the bill ultimately did pass because they felt that this was a resource that was both harmful to the environment and worth capturing for power generation purposes.
So what do you think is most important for listeners and readers to take away from your reporting on the invisible plume?
I just think people need to realize that this is, of course, a very complex issue with a lot of stakeholders, that ultimately this isn't an attack on coal miners or people who live in communities that depend on coal. This is a call to say that these large coal companies need to start taking responsibility for this byproduct of their industry. And I think that Arch Coal can say that they're waiting for it to become more economically desirable or feasible, but when you look at the fact that they gave out $8 million in bonuses the day before they declared bankruptcy, maybe economic feasibility isn't the only thing we should be considering.
That's reporter Kelsey Ray. Thanks so much for speaking to KDNK.
Hey, thanks so much, Gavin.
That was KDNK's Gavin Dahl speaking to reporter Kelsey Ray. The Colorado Supreme Court issued a ruling yesterday on their recent school board election in Grand Junction. The court affirmed the appellate court's decision that Pitten could remain on the board. While running for the school board, Paul Pitten was certified as a candidate for District B, but he didn't live there when running. He stayed on the ballot and won the election. Three residents petitioned to have the election voided, but the court ruled that after the clerk certified the candidate, there's no legal policy to uncertify them. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.